Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to The Sower. I'm the very Reverend Dr. Andrew Patrick, here on the Celtic Cross Radio Network, Studio A. Tonight is kind of an unusual evening on our Bible study. I actually did this book, part of this book, the first chapter, last Friday on our Studio B, the Catholic catechism program called The Mustard Seed. So I encourage you to go back and look at and listen to that broadcast to get a better understanding. I was thinking about doing Chapter 2 Friday for that program, but I very rarely, if never, do back-to-back chapters. But I figured since this was a different show, and it would maybe encourage people to cross back and forth, because you have to remember, our ministry is interdenominational and inclusive. So we encourage everybody to break down the barriers, so to speak, and divide the faith, the Lord's church. So, with that said, we will be looking at James chapter 2. In the description, I will be also referencing Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. So if you have your New King James Version Bible or whatever Bible you're using with you, you can put a marker in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. But before we get started, I'd like to ask you to lift up in prayer all of those that are suffering around the world, suffering by any form, meaning by starvation, meaning medical, meaning persecution, meaning anything you can possibly think of. Bullying, for example, which is a part of persecution. For those younger ones that are caught up in peer pressure, don't give in to it. So with that said, I'd also like us to lift up in prayer Reverend Evangelist Jeff Lucas, also Episcopos Gary Taylor, and Archdeacon Ian Gaylard, as well as Paul Roberts. Lift up Brother Mark Mercier and Brother Arlen Gillespie, also known as AJ. Lift up all of our clergy around the United States and the world. We're trying to do the Lord's work, and because we are doing that, and successfully, I might add, we are under attack by the spiritual aspects that surround us and our world, as well as if they can't get at us directly, they go into our second and third and fourth tiers of family and friends and disrupt our lives and our cause to stand faithful. And being faithful is what chapter 2 of James is going to be referring to. So with all that said, let us begin with our evening prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the words that our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd just like to remind you that you can email us your prayer requests or birthday intentions for a loved one, and you can send them to our email address, ministry email address, and that is info@CelticCrossMinistry.com, all lowercase, all one word. And in the subject line, reference the sower, and in the body of the message, put in your request, and we'd be happy to have others around the world that tune in pray with you. So with all that said, let us get into James chapter 2. It's only 26 verses, and with the other three, that puts us at 29 verses total. So we have plenty of time to get through the bulk of this. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Verse 5. Listen, my brethren, beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? Verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, sin, and are convicted by the law of transgressors as transgressors. Verse 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak, and so do, as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Verse 13. For the judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Verse 17. Thus also, self, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Now I'm going to jump right over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God beforehand that we should walk in them. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what a powerful message. And I really do encourage you to go back to last week's Mustard Seed program and listen to James chapter 1, because it was just as powerful, and I actually did like this. I made reference to chapter 2 in it to help pull it all together. Excuse me while I get a sip of coffee to wet my whistle a little bit. So let's begin here with the beginning of chapter 2. In the very first line, James says, do not hold the faith with partiality. And then he goes on to explain what that means. And we do see it every single day. Every man, woman, and child judges something with partiality, holding partly to the faith and partly to what is law in this world. He says in verse 4, he says, have you not shown partiality among yourselves? Judges with evil thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we are all guilty of that. Remember what I've said in the past, that Scripture has told us that we are born in this world into sin. But it is us and our understanding of God's laws and God's will that changes us to do the righteous things, including what we think, say, and what we feel in our hearts and bodies. You are in control, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. You have full authority. Keep that in mind as we go on. In verse 5, 6, and 7, he says, listen, has God not chosen the poor to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? Ladies and gentlemen, that does not mean a rich person cannot make it into heaven. Quite on the contrary, but they are not necessarily above the law because they have wealth, because they have the fineries. I know a number of people in this world, because I've had to deal with them on many different levels, that are fake, so to speak. They spend their money on the finer things of life, but then they try to con and swindle others out of what they have. So when a rich man comes into your midst, treat him as you would anyone else, without partiality, meaning with impartiality. He goes on to say in 6 and 7, but you have dishonored the poor man. Ladies and gentlemen, how many times do you walk down the street and see a homeless person in the corner, sitting on a stoop, or whatever, and you hurry past them, please don't talk to me, please don't stop me, about your faith? What about God's will? You know, sometimes even just taking a moment, though you may not have anything to give them, maybe of your time, you might be surprised who you're speaking to. Who knows? Maybe one of God's angels, and you just snubbed your nose at him. So never walk by with your nose up in the air, because you're sure to stumble right into a telephone pole. In verse 7, he says, do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? Ladies and gentlemen, I've told you many times, many, 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 many times, that what comes out of a person's mouth comes from their heart. So when you're dealing with a poor man or a rich man, truly listen to what they are saying and how they are saying it and with what emphasis they are saying it. And then you will know more about who that person truly is and what they believe and what they want, more than anything else, be it God or be it the things of this world. Let it be a lesson to you of what. Now he changes his tone here a little bit down in 8, 9, and 10, because he quotes a little scripture. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But in 9 and 10, he says, if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty. And then down in verse 12, he says, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, in this case is the law of man. Not the law of God, the law of man. So if you can't follow the law of God, you had best follow the law of the land. Hint, hint, many people have an illness within them that causes them to do things that they know they should not, but they do it anyhow and can't seem to stop themselves. Now, that can be from bullying somebody, losing your temper, five-finger discount at the local store. True story, I used to work for a little store here in Lorain called Dollar General. And this little store downtown here is the highest theft of any store in the chain worldwide. They lose over $250,000 every single year from theft. And we sit in what I call church row. When I say that, I mean we have 24 churches within 1 mile of my location. Two blocks away is a little store that tries to cater to the entire downtown area the best they can, and people with illness in their heart and a disrespect for the law of God, but claim that they are Christian and they wear crucifixes and crosses, risen crosses around their neck, saying that they love God, but they walk out with merchandise they didn't pay for, and they do it over and over and over again. And even if they're caught, they still come back, or they send a family member in to do it, or a friend. So we influence many people, so let me influence you to what is right with God. In verse 14, I was going to go, let me do 13. He says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." And I love that quote. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What do I have told you many a times that the scriptures tell us? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So a thief may be able to get away with it once. Someone that strong arms a robbery may be able to get away with it once. They might be able to get away with it twice. They might get away with bullying somebody, be it a family member or somebody that is not quite the same as them. They might get away with it 100 times, 1,000 times, but there's going to be that one time they're going to be caught. And then they will have to face the full consequences of man's law. But who put that one time into action, and who foretold it since before creation that it would happen and be done? God. In verse 14, it says, "What does it profit if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save them?" Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, tell you that once saved, always saved, and that mentality of the Protestant church, many denominations that claim it, "Oh, I'm baptized, I'm saved, oh, I can go do whatever I want, I'm going to go to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, James is telling you right here, that ain't the case. You have a responsibility and a commitment. You've asked God to invest into you, so now you need to invest into that salvation. And we're going to go on and study that a little bit more when we look at Ephesians. He goes on to say in verse 16, "But you do not give which are needed." What does it profit? Ladies and gentlemen, I have asked and reached out for you to give to the church, to this ministry, and help us, and you have not. Maybe a part of you says, "Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah, I'll get around to it. Yeah, I'll do it." You know, a friend of mine gave me a little wooden disc, and on that disc he had engraved into it, "Around to it," and he handed it to me. And he says, "I got around to it." Ladies and gentlemen, when are you going to do as God has put into your heart and do immediately and not put off? Because whatever you put off today and tomorrow will eventually come back at you. And then you can get mad and turn off the channel or change the channel or do whatever you want to do and ignore it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, then you've got your reward and glory right now, because you're not going to get it from Papa. Faith has a lot to do with it. And when I asked and I reach out for your assistance and your support, take it in faith. I wouldn't ask if we didn't need it. In verse 17, he says, "Thus by self, if it does not have works, is dead." So you can say you have faith, ladies and gentlemen. You can claim that you're going to heaven no matter what you do or what you say or what comes out of your mouth, meaning comes from your heart. And in that same respect, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you don't reach out, oh, I give to charity. Oh, I gave food to the food bank when they were claiming, and I got discounts on a ticket for a concert for giving a can of SpaghettiOs. I did good work. Yeah, you did. But you got some reward for it. Scripture says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So do it anonymously. And don't do it for the reward of what man can give you. Do it for the reward and the fellowship of God working through you for someone else. There's the reward. And though you may not see it that moment, that day, you'll feel it in your heart. And you'll have your glory in heaven. Because you will have done it by faith. And your works have shown that it is righteous in God's eyes. Let's go down to verse, I want to say number 19. He says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. My question for you, do you tremble when you think about the power that God has? And knowing that you will be standing before him in judgment, do you tremble? Because you better start trembling now. I tremble. I tremble every day at the thought of it. I look forward to it too. Not that I've always been righteous. By no means. I'm going to be accounted for a lot of stuff. But for that righteousness, the one standing next to me, defending me before God the Father, is Jesus Christ, my Savior. And I want him to be your Savior. And I want him to be standing next to you, justifying your works and your faith and your trust and your willingness to live his way. That's what I want. In verse 26, he says, for the body without spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. In verses 8, 9, and 10 of Ephesians, since we have a few moments here, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. There, ladies and gentlemen, faith is what saves you. Not that understanding and relationship of that faith. That does not save you. What saves you is that it is a gift from God that you have that understanding and that acknowledgement. He goes on to say in Ephesians, Paul writes, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Again, remember what I said. Don't let your left hand know what you're doing. And in the last verse, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. So every time that you snub your nose, turn your back, walk away from the other side of the street from that beggar or that indigent or that cripple or that person that you want to bully, every time you do that, ladies and gentlemen, you are disrespecting God, and your faith will not save you from his wrath. So start to tremble and start to understand and take time to have a real relationship with God your Father. He's waiting on you, and he's calling you. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is the Reverend, very Reverend Dr. Cardinal Andrew Patrick, saying God bless and thank you for joining me for The Sower and the Book of James. Have a great week.